The information given in this podcast is not meant to replace medical advice. Always consult your medical team. Welcome to the PCOS Diet Support Podcast, where it's all about you and overcoming your PCOS. And now, here's your host, Taryn.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the PCOS Diet Support Podcast. Now, when I last did a podcast, which was about a month ago, I was really intentional. I felt really intentional about podcasting regularly. And then just in the last month or so, just about every single member of the family has been sick. So my husband, both my kids have been sick, and that really threw a curveball. So it's been a busy old time. But I thought that in this episode, we would look more specifically at hair. So we know a woman with PCOS either have a lot of hair growth, so hair where they don't want it, or they tend to lose hair from their head in this kind of male pattern baldness. So we're going to be talking about how we can deal with hair. But before we get onto that, I just thought I'd let you know kind of what has been happening over the last month or so. And I know that you are probably just as busy as I have been over the last couple of weeks. I know for all those of you listening in the States, you've recently had Thanksgiving. And now there's this really kind of long, slow build up to Christmas, which I have to say, I'm really, really enjoying. We've spent the last two Christmases in South Africa and the weather is beautiful. It's really warm. Lots of days spent on the beach. But it also means that kind of Christmas arrives, it almost takes you by surprise. Kind of a couple of days before Christmas, you're suddenly thinking that you haven't done any Christmas shopping and you really should get onto it. Where in England, just with the cold weather and the kind of the days drawing in, the nights drawing in, and it's just lovely to have this long, slow build up to Christmas. So I actually homeschool our daughter and we've really stopped all kind of homeschooling for the month and we're really just focusing on enjoying Christmas, making Christmas presents for our friends. And it's just been a really, really special time of year. So I'm sure for you, you may not be spending quite so much time with family, but I know that this lead up to Christmas is often very special and very busy as you do all the kind of Christmas shopping. So what I've done in terms of this topic of hair and hair growth and hair loss is I posted on the Facebook page, the PCOS Diet Support Facebook page, asking questions, kind of what questions do women have about hair? And I got a lot of women commented on that. But I've taken kind of the common themes of questions that have been asked that we'll have a look at, and I will do my best to answer them. The first thing I think when we're talking about hair is I think that it's really important to understand where a lot of our issues with hair comes from, kind of on a hormonal level. So we know one of the hallmarks of PCOS is high androgen levels or high testosterone levels. And it's this high testosterone that causes us to have these issues with hair. So the testosterone does one of two things. It can act on the hair follicle and it changes it from a normal hair to a really kind of rough, coarse hair. Or what it can do is it can work on the hair follicles on our head to change those hair follicles to produce much thinner hair that eventually becomes very, very weak and can ultimately fall out, resulting in this male pattern baldness. So the bottom line is that if we want to get our hair growth under control, we have to get our testosterone under control first. So a lot of women I've heard so many times about women who spent a small fortune going for laser hair removal, only for, you know, for them to come back and say that it hasn't worked, that their hair growth is just the same. They felt that ultimately that it's been a waste of money. And so I think that before you even think about tackling things like hair removal procedures, it's really, really, really important to first get those testosterone levels under control. So let's start having a look at the questions. And you're going to see that they are pretty similar. But the first one is, how can I slow down the growth of hair on my chin and grow back more hair on my head? Okay, so we've said to answer this question, we've said that we've got to get testosterone levels under control. And I know you're going to be thinking, well, how do we do that? So there are a couple of things that you can do. The first thing is you could consider medication. Something like spironolactone, which is an androgen blocker, is often prescribed for women who are struggling with hair in particular. So that's definitely something to consider if you would like to go down the medication route. My only comment about going down a medication route is that you need to consider the possible side effects of something like spironolactone. But not only that, when you stop taking it, if you haven't done anything else to get your testosterone under control apart from taking medication. As soon as you stop taking the medication, your testosterone is going to spiral again and your hair growth is going to worsen again. So that is the caveat on kind of taking medication to get your testosterone levels under control. But there is quite a lot that you can do naturally. So there's been a lot of really good research on the use of spearmint tea for managing hirsutism in women with PCOS. I think it was done in Turkey. This piece of research was done in Turkey. Women were encouraged to drink 2 cups of spearmint tea a day. And the research found that testosterone levels dropped significantly. Now, the other thing that I want to mention before we kind of talk about a lot of these other issues is that you have to be super, super, super patient when we are talking about hair. Hair takes at least 6 to 12 months to see an improvement. If you go out and buy a 2-week supply of spearmint tea and you don't see any improvements, don't get disheartened. You've got to stick with it. This is a long-term strategy. Okay, so spearmint tea twice a day. And I know loads of women have asked me about if they can use peppermint tea. The research was not done on peppermint tea. It was done on spearmint tea. So I really encourage you to look for a spearmint tea. Now, for those of you who are in the UK or in the US, you can get spearmint tea online from Amazon. I will link it in the show notes where I get my spearmint tea from. It's an organic spearmint tea. So I'll link that. You can also take spearmint capsules, I believe. So the first one is spearmint. The second one that you could really consider is your diet. Now, as you know, PCOS diet support, I feel incredibly strongly about diet and how important diet is. The things that we eat are so important to managing our PCOS. But if you can get your insulin levels under control, that will ultimately help with your testosterone levels. More specifically, when we're talking about diet, I really, really, really want to encourage you to give up dairy. Now, episode 5 of the PCOS Diet Support Podcast, go and have a look for that. It's called, Is It Time to Ditch Dairy for Your PCOS? That is one of my most popular podcasts. And in it, I talk really specifically about the effects of dairy on PCOS. But there has been some research that has shown that even 1 glass of milk a day on women without PCOS, so we're talking about normal, healthy, this research was done in adolescents. So normal, healthy adolescent girls who had a glass of milk a day had significantly higher testosterone levels. So dairy has been linked with testosterone. I really want to encourage you, if you're struggling with hirsutism, to really consider giving up dairy. And then the other thing to consider is supplements. So supplements, omega-3 in particular, has been shown to help with testosterone levels, as well as a supplement called ovocetol or inositol. And again, I will post links to these in the show notes. But those are the things that I would really recommend to get your testosterone levels under control. The other part of this question is, how can I slow down the growth of hair on my chin and grow back more hair on my head? So the one thing that I want to mention about male pattern baldness, or kind of thinning hair on your head, is that hair loss has also been linked with hypothyroidism or thyroid issues. And we know that women with PCOS are prone to have issues with their thyroid. So if you are struggling with hair loss, please make sure that you have had your thyroid checked. Because even if you do everything you can to get your testosterone levels under control, if your thyroid hormone or if your thyroid is not functioning properly, you will still continue to have issues no matter how well controlled your testosterone levels are, if that makes sense. So I really want to encourage you, get your thyroid checked. Once you've had your thyroid checked, if your thyroid is okay, do everything you can to get your testosterone under control. And that should then help with the hair growth on your chin and the hair loss on your head. The other thing about hair loss is you need to be really careful about protecting the hair that you do have. So I would caution you against using really harmful chemicals, you know, dyeing your hair, bleaching your hair, perming your hair, using things like hair straighteners. Anything that's going to damage the hair that you do have is going to make the problem much worse. So do everything you can to keep your hair on your head healthy and as natural as possible. So I hope that answers that question. Now, there was another very similar question. It was, I'd like to know more about facial hair growth, which I think we've spoken about. And I think there is no difference between the hair that grows on your face, kind of the hirsutic hair that grows on your face, if that's even a word, but the coarse hair that grows on your face, it also grows on other parts of your body. It's the same hair that grows kind of, I call it a garden path, kind of the the area between your belly button and your general pubic hair. That is often an area that's very problematic. Legs are often also very problematic. There is no difference between the facial hair and that hair. The only difference really is that the hair on your face is much more visible. And so a lot of women feel more aware or self-conscious on the hair on their face, but it is the same underlying cause, kind of as the testosterone. So we have to get that under control. And then the second part of that question was, would laser surgery work for hair removal? And we've touched on this very briefly. The answer is yes, laser surgery will help, provided you have your testosterone levels under control. So what I would really strongly recommend is that you stick with a good supplement and diet regime. So you eat really well, you take the supplements, and I would do that for at least 3 months before you consider laser hair removal. Now, let's say you've done that, you've had laser hair removal, and you're happy with the results. Okay, you've had good results with it. It's really important, as soon as those testosterone levels get out of control again, the hair is likely to grow back. So you need to make sure always that those testosterone levels are under control. And I know that this seems like this is a lot of work, and you're right, it probably is a lot of work. But the reality is that our PCOS is not going to go away. We can manage the symptoms, but it is a lifestyle change. We're talking about being healthy for a lifetime. We want to avoid the secondary issues of PCOS. We want to make sure that whatever changes we implement, we are able to see through. So it's really about living a full life with eating healthily. And it is a lifestyle change. You're not going on a diet. This is not a temporary thing, okay? The recommendations that I'm making are lifelong recommendations. And I don't want you to feel that you are being deprived of things. I have so many incredible recipes, and I'm going to get onto this toward the end of this podcast, but I've got a load of amazing recipes that will help you to feel really satisfied, really full. You know, there are incredible foods that you can eat that will help you feel so amazing that you'll also really enjoy. So I'm not talking about a life of deprivation here at all. I really enjoy the foods that I eat, and I feel good because of them. So I just want to encourage you that it's not all doom and gloom. Okay, so then again, the next question, is there anything that can be done about general hair growth rate, specifically slowing it down? Again, get your testosterone under control. Why do people with PCOS lose hair or hair thins with bald patches? Again, we've discussed some of that. And then what diet changes should we make, and what specific vitamins can we buy over the counter? Okay, so we've spoken a lot about that. So I'm just going to recap them. We've spoken about omega-3. We've spoken about ovocetol. We've spoken about spearmint tea. The dietary changes, really focus on eating foods with a low glycemic load. We want to manage our insulin levels because insulin will cause our ovaries to produce too much testosterone. So there's a really strong link between insulin and testosterone. So foods with a low glycemic load, we want to eliminate dairy because dairy is going to increase our testosterone levels. And I normally also recommend that you consider giving up gluten. So those are the three kind of core principles of a PCOS diet that will help your hair growth. And then there was one other question that I wanted to answer, and that is, I know hair loss is normal after having a baby, but why am I able to clog the drain during every single shower over a year after I gave birth to my son? So hair loss after having a baby, there's a very specific reason for that. And the first thing is that when you are pregnant, you will find that your hair is really thick and really full, and hair growth tends to accelerate during pregnancy. It's normally a healthy sign. It's a good thing. So our bodies tend to kind of keep the hair that we have while we're pregnant. Once we are pregnant, when the hormones all change again, you tend to lose a lot of that excess hair that you had when you were pregnant. So hair loss is very normal. Also, your hormones, they take a really long time to settle after having a baby. So it could be that you're still having some of that residual fluctuations within your hormones. The other thing that I would really suggest is that, again, that you have thyroid checked. Make sure that your thyroid is healthy. If your thyroid function is healthy, then I would consider implementing all the other strategies that we've already spoken about on this podcast. And that should help some of the hair to stop blocking the drain. If it's something that you are very concerned about, if you're concerned about the amount of hair that you are losing, then I would recommend that you go and see the doctor and just get a full kind of checkup. So get all your bloods done, check what your testosterone levels are, check your insulin levels, check and see what your thyroid is looking like. And that'll give you some more direction as to where you need to go to prevent that hair loss. So I hope that helps. I hope that covers some of the questions that we had around hair. I know that it's one of the most frustrating symptoms. And it's frustrating because it's one of the symptoms that takes a really, really, really long time to see improvements with. But don't get disheartened. Don't get discouraged. Keep going at it for 6 to 12 months, and I'm sure that you will start to see an improvement. And I've had lots of women who have gone through some of my programs who've given really good feedback around some of their struggles with hirsutism and with hair loss. So it is something that can be improved. Don't lose hope. Now, there's one more question that I wanted to answer. That was one of the women on the Facebook page was asking about the different products that I offer on PCOS Diet Support and what the different products are for and what I recommend. So at the moment, I just want to touch on this very briefly. This isn't a sales pitch. The products are there if you would like to look at them. But I just want to give you some guidance as to what we offer. So the main flagship program that I offer is called the PCOS Master Plan. And the PCOS Master Plan I've designed, it's kind of a really comprehensive product. It gives you a lot of information on PCOS. And the whole product is designed to walk you through a 5-step process to getting your PCOS under control. So I look really closely. The foundation is nutrition. Look really closely at the foods you eat, how to work out recipes, make sure that recipes are good for your PCOS, how to work out the glycemic load of recipes, how to put together meal plans. We go through what breakdown you should be having per day, how many carbs you should be having per day, what about snacks. It goes into a lot of detail. Then the next section, we look specifically at supplements. What supplements are really good for PCOS, what supplements you should possibly avoid, what supplements don't have enough evidence, because if you Google supplements for PCOS, you're going to find millions of things that are supposed to help with PCOS. And many of them don't have very good evidence behind them. So I don't want you to waste money on things that don't work. Then the next step, we look at the lifestyle elements. We're looking at exercise. We're looking at sleep. We're looking at sex drive. We're looking at a lot of different elements within our lifestyle. And that really for me is about quality of life, living well with PCOS. Then we look at strategies specifically to deal with each individual symptom of PCOS. And finally, we look at kind of the role of the medical profession, when you should be seeing your doctor, what your doctor should be looking out for, how they should be monitoring your PCOS, how often you should be going to see your doctor about your PCOS. So that is the PCOS Master Plan in a nutshell. It really is a very comprehensive, it's my flagship program. It's a comprehensive program to teach you everything you need to know to help you manage your PCOS. The next thing we have is we have the PCOS Infertility Program. And this, I felt there was a really big need for looking at how PCOS impacts on fertility. Trying to conceive was one of the most difficult times for me with both of my children. And I was diagnosed when I was trying to conceive. I'd gone off the pill and I was trying to conceive my daughter. Well, I didn't know that she was a daughter. I just wanted to be a mom. That's all. That was my goal. Just wanted to be a mom. And there was no information out there. There was no help for me. Kind of there weren't very many other blogs at the time when I was diagnosed. And so the PCOS Infertility Program is really all the information that I really wanted to know when I was trying to conceive. So, you know, we tackle the hard things. We tackle the PCOS and the risk of miscarriage. We tackle, you know, what fertility treatments are available. We tackle all the things that you need to do to be healthy, to boost your own fertility. And I've got a lot of expert interviews in there with world-renowned specialists in PCOS infertility. So the PCOS Infertility Program is really designed to pave the way for you to become a mom. Obviously, I can't make any guarantees, but it's really to help you give your body the best shot at conceiving. Then we have two other products. We have the PCOS Diet Support Monthly Membership. And the monthly membership is all about meal plans. It's if you are too busy to be doing meal plans for yourself. It's if you have no idea what you should be eating for your PCOS, you're really struggling to find recipes that you think are PCOS compliant. It gives you the glycemic load of every meal. It tells you how many carbohydrates are in every meal. It gives you recipes and shopping lists. So it really is something that you log onto the site every week. You download your meal plans. They're seasonal, they're fresh meals. I also include treat recipes. So if you are having a dinner party coming up and you don't know what to cook for dessert, we have dessert recipes in there so you don't have to feel completely deprived. With Christmas coming up, we have a whole specific Christmas meal plan. So that's really if you are struggling with kind of knowing what to eat and what not to eat, the meal plans are a great resource for that. And the last thing we have is we have the weight loss execution plan. And the weight loss execution plan, it's the price of a couple of cups of coffee. I really wanted to make it as accessible as possible. It gives specific strategies to help women with PCOS lose weight. I can't tell you how many times women have come to me and said, my doctor told me that all I need to do is lose weight and my PCOS will improve. And yes, there is some truth in that, but they don't tell you how to go about losing weight. They don't tell you that there are specific strategies that you need to use to help you lose weight with PCOS. It's all about getting those hormones under control. So the weight loss execution plan gives a lot of information on the research on how to go about losing weight with PCOS. So I hope that covers that question about what are the products that PCOS Diet Support offers and what program would fit you at this particular time. Now, if you're interested in signing up for any of the programs, the best thing to do would be to go to PCOSdietSupport.com, and on PCOSdietSupport.com, you'll see that we have a tab that says courses. It's a drop-down tab, and on there you will see access to all four of those things. So we've got the PCOS Master Plan, the PCOS Infertility Program, the membership, and the weight loss execution plan. So if you are interested, please feel free to navigate to PCOSdietSupport.com. On the homepage, you'll find the courses tab, just drop down from there and you'll find all the information to those products. I hope that makes sense and I hope that clears that up for you. And really all that's left for me to say is that I really hope that the last part of 2017 is a wonderful time for you and your family, that it's a time of feasting, it's a time of celebration, it's a time of joy, and that you just start to kind of become a little bit more introspective as you look toward 2018. I will be talking more about 2018, about some of the things that we can have on offer for 2018. But if 2017 hasn't been a great year for you, then I want to encourage you that there's hope. 2018 is a brand new year. Lots of things can change in 2018. So have a lovely, lovely festive season, and I'll catch up with you in the new year. Bye for now.
Thanks for tuning in to the PCOS Diet Support Podcast. For more PCOS diet tips and support, visit PCOSdietsupport.com.